You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm April Baer. In 2015, the writer and scholar Robin Costi Lewis created book-length poetry from the outdated and often outrageous captions found on classic works of art from Western civilization, paintings featuring Black people, always created by white artists. If you've never read Voyage of the Sable Venus, it's an amazing book. Contemporary African-American artists are working hard to address the imbalances, giving us images that redefine the Black experience. This month, as we think about what art can tell us about Black history and Black life, we made a trip to the Detroit Institute of Arts to talk to the museum's amazing curator of African-American art, Valerie Mercer, and of course, to look at some work with her. Well, first of all, Valerie Mercer, thank you so much for being here, and welcome to Stateside.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here with you in the museum.
Sure. I was a little tickled to see that you were seated in front of this work by Micheline Thomas. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to think about an entry point for the diversity of work that's on view as part of this show, but could you talk a little bit about what we're sitting in front of right now?
Sure. Well, these are permanent collection galleries, and we have about five devoted to African American art. This painting that we're sitting in front of is by the contemporary artist Micheline Thomas, and this is a work that we purchased just a few years ago. I think I was walking around the galleries one day, and I thought, which I do occasionally, think about what's missing and what we need. And I immediately thought about Micheline's work. We didn't have anything by her. And I started, you know, talking to her gallery about it. And this came up, and I went to see it. I thought it was just such a beautiful, you know, painting, and like the way Micheline works, it's a mixed media work. So she's added all these Swarovski, you know, stones, rhinestones,
crystals,
crystals.
Yeah.
It's all over. I just loved how sort of blatantly decorative it was.
The portrait is this explosively colorful image of a woman in repose on a couch.
But you don't see, you know, work depicting African-American women within the history of art, really. So I had been paying attention to her work because that's very much her specialty. And as I said, I do think about, like, what's missing, and especially trying to get, you know, different audiences in to see the galleries and all. And so I knew I had to get one of her works. And I was just so delighted when I found this one. And then, you know, when I presented it, and it went through pretty, you know, smoothly, and people were excited about it. But I loved it because I actually had seen Micheline's work a few years ago when she was in the Studio Museum in Harlem's Artist in Residence program. I used to work there.
At the Studio Museum in Harlem. Yes.
Yeah. And it's like the premier museum of African American art. And I occasionally, when I visit New York, I go by the Artist in Residence program. And she was in the program at that time. The work she did at that time was smaller in scale. But I do remember being really taken aback by the decorative elements she had in the work. And I remember thinking that that was pretty bold, but I liked it. Because I see it as making a blatant statement about the, femininity, that it is definitely about women. And that's always been, to some extent, anything that reeked of, you know, femininity in art for a very long time was really considered a negative. You know, if you told a male artist that you thought their work, even if it was abstraction, but you told them you thought it was pretty, they were very uncomfortable. I know male artists who would joke with me about that, because I would come out sometime and say, oh, this is really beautiful, or this is pretty. I was fine, but it was almost like a no-no.
This work feels like it draws on some of the best of pop art, while bringing touches of authenticity and hominess in the wood paneling that's part of the background, all the patterns and fabrics that are portrayed in how she's sitting. I mean, it feels like home, but a particularly splendid view of home.
Yeah, well, Micheline is a well-trained artist. She knows art history, you know, and contemporary art, and also she certainly is aware of, you know, pop art. But a lot of her works, and this one included, have to do with the fact that she was very young, probably a little girl during the 70s, and her mother was at some point, you know, a runway model, a fashion model. And so
there's a strong understanding of fashion in her
yeah,
work.
Yeah, but I think for, like really for a lot of little girls, you know, their sense of fashion and even femininity often does kind of start with their mother. I remember being a little girl and my mom would get fashion magazines and I would just curl up on the floor and I just loved looking at the pictures. And I loved it when my mom got dressed up, you know, and especially if she would ask me to help her pick out earrings. And Micheline has similar stories, you know, about her mother, but it's all done very lovingly. But it's a period, I think, in her life that she recalls with a great deal of affection for her mother, who died just a few years ago. But sort of, she does call her mother her muse for her art.
What's important to understand about how Black women and men have been treated as subjects in most of the Western canon?
Well, you know, they often were basically ignored. They were really not there. Or if they were depicted in art, it was often in a somewhat derogatory way, you know, through things like caricature or being seen in, you know, very negative light. So,
not to mention being expected images, not to mention the images of Black people as a stand-in for a sense of wildness.
Oh, sure. No, it was always often referring to, you know, there were just all these negative stereotypes about Black people. They were portrayed in, you know, popular and sometimes even in, you know, fine art. But with the Harlem Renaissance, that started to change because basically I feel the intellectual foundation that supported the Harlem Renaissance, because you had people like you know, Elaine Locke and W.E.B. Du Bois and other Black intellectuals encouraging artists to basically define the image of their people. These were, you know, they were really talking to African-American artists. That was a responsibility they had to overturn the stereotypes.
Is that a place where you see artists starting to turn the page and create more of a sense of agency for their subjects?
Yeah, because you really don't see, you know, some 19th century African-American artists portrayed Black people, but it was still quite rare because most African-Americans could not, you know, commission artists. They didn't have the means to do that. Occasionally, there were people like Henry Osawa Tanner and Duncanson who may have done portraits of African Americans, but they were usually prominent individuals like a minister, you know, prominent in their community, who also had the means to commission them. But on the whole, they're very rare, and most of those artists did, you know, things like Tanner specialized in biblical subject matter, Duncanson specialized in landscape painting. So it isn't until the Harlem Renaissance period, but again, the Harlem Renaissance really has to be understood as the offshoot of movements like the New Negro Movement, which had this very strong Black intellectual foundation. Because, you know, sometimes people think that these cultural movements just come out of the air, but they never do.
They're part of their times.
Yeah, but you do need sort of the thinkers behind it, you know, to give it some kind of firm foundation. Elaine Locke particularly was a really important figure for the Harlem Renaissance, you know, writers and eventually artists. But, you know, he emphasized that was a responsibility of those creative people to overturn the negative stereotypes about African-American artists, African-American people, I'm sorry.
Valerie, you curated a 2008 exhibition called 30 Americans that had a huge effect on how museum goers in the modern era look at black art and black portraiture?
Sure.
First of all, it was one of the most widely viewed traveling exhibitions. This thing toured for 10 years around the country. That just never happens. You know, a lot of people in a lot of places around the U.S. got to see this show. And some scholars have written about how the tour in some ways stoked collectors and, by extension, museums to take a more serious look at work by African-American artists. A collector starts to think about it, starts buying works, and eventually those works find their way into our museums.
Sure.
Do you think that portraiture benefits when black art is regarded more seriously by collectors and museums?
Yes. I think that, you know, an exhibition like that, that I have to say, it did travel to various museums, and as would happen in all those museums, you know, curator does take responsibility for curating it, but it did originate with the Rubel's institution. The Rubel family owns that collection, and it has been very popular, and it was wonderful to work on here. I think that that exhibition did help to change a lot of people's thinking about African-American art, you know, but I have to say, you know, having worked at the Studio Museum for a number of years, and I am from the East Coast originally, you know, that show was wonderful, but it seemed to me kind of normal, like what you could see in places like the Studio Museum and some institutions in New York. I just kept wondering, when was it going to catch up to, you know, when were other art museums going to catch up to that? But finally, you know, they did, and they have been. And I thought it was just a wonderful exhibition.
Because we should say, there's a huge underrepresentation of African-American artists to this day in most of our institutions.
That's true. That's definitely true. But I think right now, certainly in the art world, a lot of the really stars in the contemporary art world are African-American artists. And
Kara Walker, Kehinde Wiley.
Yeah, but, you know, I think I could see that coming, you know, again, probably because I worked at the Studio Museum. You know, a lot of those artists came out of the Studio Museum's Artist in Residence program. Not Kara, but certainly Kerry James Marshall, so many people who were in that show. So none of it surprised me how successful a lot of them are. I mean, Kehinde came out of that program. I was thrilled to have it here because I knew some of the artists. I also knew a lot about them. I know, too, the impact of that program on a lot of artists. You know, it really jumpstarts their career because the New York Times writes a critical review of their exhibition, which they do at the Studio Museum after a year when the program ends. But they often get a lot of attention. But having that show here, I was just so thrilled because it got a lot of people very excited. We had wonderful attendance for that show. The audience was, you know, extremely diverse in age and race. And whenever we did programs, we got good attendance for it. And it was like that until the show's last day. But it was such a nice variety.
A lot of Americans who may not go to museums a lot may have a familiarity with black portraiture through the presence of the presidential portraits that were done of Barack and Michelle Obama by Kehinde Wiley in the case of the former president and Amy Sherald in the case of the former first lady. This was a face of black portraiture that certainly hadn't been among the presidential portraits in the National Gallery and that sort of became part of a national awareness and conversation about these images. What did it mean to you to see those contemporary artists representing in that way?
Oh, I was thrilled. I loved the portraits. I thought it was so smart of them to choose, you know, two stars in the art world. Because the paintings, of course, were very innovative for portraiture.
They're very modern by the standards of presidential portraits.
Yeah. And that's really what portraiture is like today. You know, most artists, you know, they, unless they're a sort of traditional portrait painter, who does these things on commissions, you know, all the time, most artists want to be selected for their style, which in the case of Kehinde and Amy, they were. And so they bring to the work innovative aspects of their own styles and in many ways their own vision. I often feel when you look at, you know, the portraiture and even other art by a lot of the contemporary artists today, you really see the artists there as well. You know, it's not only the former president, Barack Obama, and the former first lady. You know, you also see Kehinde in there, and you see Amy in her portrait of Michelle, because they are injecting sort of their vision into how they see these two famous people, you know, but it's their own distinct, you know, take on Barack Obama and Michelle Obama.
Black identity has had to mean so many different things by necessity, from what's expressed within Black communities, sure, and what can safely be expressed to a wider world. Is it important as we look at Black portraiture to try to see things through multiple lenses?
I think it's really important for everybody, everyone, regardless of the racial background, to get somewhat the same message. I am a person who doesn't believe in having to fudge the truth about history just because I'm talking to a white audience. And a lot of people do expect that. I mean, because I think the biggest problems we have in our society today have certainly to do with race still. And a lot of it is because people don't want to know the truth about race, about racism, the truth about history. I think if we keep that up, it can't go well. I mean, that's why it persists as some kind of quote-unquote problem. It's not a problem. I mean, people being of different races is what makes the world, I think, beautiful and interesting. I always tell people I don't want 25 friends in my life who look like me. I feel like, you know, my life would be boring. We'd all be telling the same story. I'd like to know people who are different from me and come from different cultures, because that's how I learn. You know, and I was raised that way. So I think it's really important for Black artists to, in a sense, be brave and speak the truth about a lot of these issues, you know, our history, you know, always, because it's the only way people learn. And I like to think I do that in my own work.
Valerie Mercer, thank you so much for your work and for your time today. We appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, too.
Support for arts and cultural coverage on Stateside comes in part for the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.